Welcome to the Daytime Confidential podcast, brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, Thorne proposes on The Bold and the Beautiful, Nick is arrested on The Young and the Restless, a skull is found on General Hospital, and they pull the plug on Marlena on Days of Our Lives. All this and much more on today's show, so stay tuned. Mike Jubinville, welcome.
Hi there.
Jillian Bo, welcome.
Hello.
And Joshua Baldwin, welcome.
Hello.
So, it's been an interesting week in soaps, both on screen and on Twitter. If you're a former actor, recurring actor, things are a little interesting on Twitter. Let's start with The Bold and the Beautiful. We'll dive into the storyline and then we'll cover the Twitter drama. Jillian. Thorne's already proposing to Katie.
I find this storyline a little interesting because it's clear to me that Thorne is looking for a family. And Katie, you know, has like a little makeshift one because of Bill and his machinations. And I find it very interesting. I wonder who is going to figure this out and point it out. Is it going to be too late? You know, are they going to take Thorne into a direction where he loses his marbles and snaps and does something? So it's very juicy. I mean, Katie hasn't told this man she loves him, and he's already like, will you marry me? I'm like, I don't know if Thorne really does love her, or he just loves the idea of having a family with her. It's a lot of layers to this, and I'm kind of enjoying it. The part that just drives me crazy, and I hope when it's found out, is Brooke is lobbying on behalf of Bill. I'm sitting there and I'm thinking to myself, don't you remember what this man did to your sister? Are you serious? That's why you stole the custody papers away from Bill the first time. I can't believe you're doing this. I just hope B&B taps into that history, because sometimes they like to just ignore history. That seems to be a CBS. That seems to be a CBS daytime thing. I'm like, I don't know what's going on with that, but I hope they tap into that, because I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, girl, Brooke, like, this is your baby sister. You're going to railroad your baby sister. And we see that Bill is still after Brooke, and I hope this all comes crashing down on Brooke's head. And this is coming from a Brooke fan, because you're selling your sister out for penis, and this man is trying to, like, you know, I should be like, I yawn the penis. Oh, y'all need to see that. Oh my God, she's such a mess. But you're selling your sister out for this man. You just the other day, you were just griping about how he's ruining lives. He's doing it again. He's ruining your sister's life, and he's going to ruin yours. Like, what's wrong with you?
Josh, does his proposal feel rushed to you?
I'm kind of with Jillian here. I think that it does feel very rushed, but it also feels like Thorne, he's losing it or something's going on, because he seems to be in a different relationship with Katie than Katie is with him. Although she broke down and cried when he put out that ring, so who knows?
Because it wasn't string.
It was not
string.
Oh,
chow.
Oh, that red string.
But I think didn't she say to him, she was like, you don't have to propose to me to get custody or something like that, so.
Yeah.
She's
not with him on this, but I who knows what she's going to do. But and Brooke as well, just going off of what Jillian said, I love Brooke Logan. And I was so annoyed with her all week long. My daughter, crap at work. And then going for siding with Bill against Katie, it was just, I was just annoyed all week long by Brooke Logan. I don't hate the stories. I was just annoyed by her. If I have to hear her say my daughter one more time, at Forrester, I thought, yeah, I was going to lose my shit. So she's just been annoying me all week.
Okay. Mike, what are you thinking of Xander and Emma?
Oof. Thanks for that question.
Oh. That's That Zenday light, Nicole light, and Sasha light show.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I don't really like them. I mean, I think they're kind of bland. I don't know that Zoe's doing anything. She just came out of nowhere to, and now she's a stalker, and now she's trying to seduce this guy when Emma won't give it to him. I don't know. It's just, it's not, I haven't really warmed up to the characters enough to really invest in any of them yet. So, intern implies that summer's over and you're going to be leaving, but I'm pretty sure that's not how it works at Forrester.
Right. Well,
and what are you thinking of the fashion drama at Forrester at the moment?
Well,
Ridge really did put those chicks against each other. Hope called, Hope nailed it. The Ridge is being petty, and he pretty much said, "I know you really need this." That, like, I feel as though we should have had Eric say something to the effect of, "I looked at the books, Ridge. I had a forensic accountant come in, Ridge," and Ridge be like, "Did you know?" And he'd be like, "Yes." And he looked at the books, and there could have been both lines. And for Eric to call him out, like, because Ridge needs to be, Ridge, you're favoring your daughter. The person that you should be mad at is friggin' Liam. You're mad at Bill. You stank with Hope, but you should be mad at Liam for this. You mad at all the wrong people, but not the right one. That's frustrating me that they're not mad at Liam. Like, Ridge should be an total douchebag to Liam and say, "You have been playing both my daughters," and for Liam to throw up in Ridge's face his own history with Brooke and Taylor, because they keep talking about, Brooke keeps saying she doesn't want them to be like her and Taylor. Y'all are like that, except your daughter is Taylor and Steffi is you. Why? I don't get why nobody is busting them. And as for those stupid whack ass interns, I feel as though Emma is Hope. She Black Hope, but Nicole. And Zoe is Black Steffi, but is Sasha. And those girls should be teamed up with the goody goodies and the bad bitches. I don't get why they're not doing that.
I don't get why Emma's not being mentored by Justin. Justin could tell her how to take Zoe down. Like, they have, Justin and Emma haven't been in a scene together since the very first day or two she was on.
Or have Hope say to her, "You know, I understand." Have Hope make a dig right in front of Steffi. "I understand someone who is overly obsessed with someone that you're with." And for Steffi be like, "Huh?" You know, for some dig or something, be like, "Girl, you know, you stick to your morals." And for Steffi to be like, "Girl, I know what it's like going up against some goody-goody bitch who don't want nobody to put her their filthy paws on her silky drawers. Listen, if your man want to get to it, ain't nothing but to do it. I'm like, the show has a lot of beats going on that can be all paired up with each other, and I don't know what they doing. They just playing screw. I don't know. It's kind of weird. They're all most of the storylines all connect with each other, but they're not doing that for some reason. I don't understand. This could be so juicy if you have Steffi and Hope thrown into the middle with those interns and vice versa. Everybody would be connected in that. And then you have Brooke bringing up her past with, you know, with Ridge, or, you know, Liam bringing up his past, Liam bringing up Ridge's past, and that thrown in there, like, that would umbrella everybody in there. For some reason, they just don't seem to do that. They just have tunnel vision.
Or even have Brooke overhear Quinn say she supports Ridge and his decision. I mean, the fight really should be between Quinn and Brooke more than it should be between Brooke and Steffi.
I mean, well, they haven't really gone down that road with Brooke and Quinn in a minute. They need to, like, start it back up again. They could start it back up again when Quinn said, "Look, I'm down with Katie keeping Will from Bill because he is going to ruin that boy. Look at what he did to Wyatt and Liam, and they are adults." And for Brooke to be like, "I don't believe that," and for them to have a little cat fight, and then, you know, Quinn stick it to her even more and be like, "You know what, Rich? I totally support you. Your wife really needs to support you." And for that to kick off, I don't get that. I mean, I think they're bringing Hunter Tylo back. either you bring in Hunter back so they can relive the history and they bring up history repeating itself, and you throw Ridge, you know, Ridge has to deal with, you know, I'm the cause of all this shit, and Liam too, or you go down the Ridge and Quinn path. They have a really good way of turning shit around here, but for some reason they don't want to play those beats. I don't understand it.
Well, one thing I don't understand is why people in public who are actors do things on Twitter sometimes that just puts themselves in hot water. And that's what former B&B star Windsor Harmon did this last week with a tweet about Maxine Waters. Jillian, thoughts?
You really? Listen. I don't care if you're a Democrat, you're a Republican, you're an independent, you're a Green Party, you're a Red Party, you a Bud Party. I don't, you know, my thing is when you do like you do tweets like the one he did and you keep it up for hours and you act all, I'm not a Democrat or a Republican. I thought it was funny. Really? You thought a picture depicting a black woman that way, a racist tweet like that, was funny? I don't understand you. Like, if you're gonna go there and put that tweet up, at least own it. Don't try to do this whole, oh, I thought it was funny. And if I offended you, I find those, and I've said it on Twitter, I find those apologies the most disgusting and insufferable fuck-ass apologies ever. Nobody could come to me and say, if I offended you, because that's bullshit. That's just you saying, oh, I'm sorry, girl. Your feelings hurt, girl. If your feelings are hurt, girl, I'm sorry. You're not apologizing for real. And Windsor wasn't apologizing for real. Windsor only did that because he got his ass lit up on Twitter and realized, oh, shit, I got my ass lit up on Twitter. And, you know, I may want to get back into this game. I'm still an actor. I still want to get back into this acting game. I don't want anybody to block me from getting a job. So let me throw this up. If you're going to do what you do, own it. I would have more respect for you if you owned it and said, look, it's a picture, y'all, relax. You know, but I stand by it. I'd still side eye and be like, oh, you're such a fucking douchebag. But this whole if I offended you bullshit, you're only sorry that you got caught. You're sorry that someone lit your ass up. And you're sorry that people were contacting Uber to light your ass up.
Josh, so, it sounds like you're going to church with Jillian.
I agree. I've oftentimes said it about politicians that I can disagree with you all day, but if you're consistent, I can respect you and hate what you're saying at the same time.
Exactly.
Own it. Throw it up. I agree with Jillian here completely. Be what you are. If you felt strongly enough to tweet it, knowing everybody in the world was going to see it, then don't act surprised when your ass gets lit up. And own it. Don't take it down. And then don't, oh, I'm so sorry, and I didn't mean anything. Bullshit. Come on.
Yes, because I went back and looked at his tweets. Yes, I did. And he's like, I'm not. Someone else some dude from the Daily Caller tweeted something about Maxine Waters. And what's his name now? Windsor? Wings of the Morning, whatever. He goes, oh, she's a menace to society. And I'm like, now, you said you aren't
a Republican. If you're reading the Daily Caller, you're more than a Republican.
Exactly. So I'm like, do you really think that you playing somebody? I would have more respect for you if you're like, I don't agree with her politics, and I thought the tweet was funny, and now that I'm looking at it, it does look a little side-eyes, but I don't agree with her politics. I'd be like, okay, cool, but you agree with it. Like, man up. You are such a fucking punk, man. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the part that just annoys me the most. If you're going to be loud and obnoxious about something, own it. Don't try to deflect only after, you know, you people are lighting you up. Like, that just really aggravates me when people do that.
Unrelated, but meanwhile, over at The Young and the Restless, Mike Doug Davidson was doing a bit of venting, and there was no "my profile has been hacked this time" excuse.
No, the Russians said they too busy, child. The Russians said we busy. What, we can't do him again.
What did you think of Doug Davidson's flurry of tweets?
I'm not really a fan of an actor going to social media to try to drum up the fan support.
Steve,
that said, yeah, any of them, really. It's just kind of, I don't know.
It's gauche. It's gauche.
It doesn't do anything for me. And here's the thing. We all have fans. We can always get people all riled up. He had a job for 40 years. I'm not saying he doesn't have a job. All right, we know that he's on recurring. We know that he has a couple of appearances. He had one this week. I feel badly that things aren't going in the direction that he wants. However, as somebody who is in the ballpark as far as the upper age limit of certain things of life right now, I would have to say.
You all like him, too.
Look at the difference between Doug Davidson on The Young and the Restless and John J. York on General Hospital.
Got you. But
finish, Mike. Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
This is entertainment industry. This kind of stuff happens all the time. It's cold. It's callous. We read about it. He's not alone in his in what happened to him. We all know people that have worked 30 plus years at a company and are unceremoniously dumped and escorted out the front door. It happens, and it's sad. But you know, we have been saying that Young and the Restless needs to be young and restless, and now it's young, and everybody's
still not
griping.
Restless.
I get.
We restless watching it.
I get that there has to be a balance. I understand that. I think we all understand that. And it would be great to see Paul, because having him back to balance out Ray, it was glaringly obvious that this guy was missing. But don't get on Twitter and sound like you're whining. And I just don't like whining in any way, shape, or form or anything. So that's just my opinion. I'm sorry things didn't work out for him. And I know he's a vet, and of course he deserves better. We all deserve better, but that's not real life. Life is not always fair.
Well, damn, Mike.
I'm sorry. I've been through it. I mean, it happens.
Mike Whatever. Said, Mike said, look, you old and too damn bad. Shit. Mike really said, oh,
I mean, whatever. He was an actor for 40 years with a steady job. That's unheard of.
So
grateful.
Whenever he gets on Twitter and does that, it reminds me of Soap Dish when Whoopi Goldberg would take Sally Field to the mall and let her sign all the autographs and get all the attention. It's very similar to that. Like, he's, you know, a soap star tweets something bad about their job or negative about the storyline, and of course all the people are going to tweet you back, and then you just sit back and feel the love that you created. It's sad.
You know what? Here's my take on this whole situation. I'm going to take it way back. When Sally was there and when she got fired, Doug jumps his happy ass on Twitter and was happy about that. He was leading the charge. Oh, Mal, he's our pal. La, 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 la. I said
Mal,
to myself,
Mal, he's our pal. Oh, that's...
No, I said that. No, baby.
That's interesting. All of a sudden, I had visuals of Doug Davidson and pom poms. I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, I just told you, sit in the corner.
All up in your hand. Ooh.
No, sit in the corner. So, my thing with that, he was cheering it on, leading the charge, and I'm so glad, and this and that, and throwing shade at Sally. And I said to myself, and I've been saying this since Mal took over, I said, y'all better be careful of what y'all wish for. Be careful of what you wish for. Now look at it. People who are happy about Mal taking over and stuff, they are like, it needs to go. I'm like, uh-uh. And you know me, the petty in me. I'm like, uh-uh. But you said you love you some Mal. He is the same way. He did it on Twitter again. And then CBS was all, oh, you know, the CBS's department was all, he said he was hacked, and he comes on Twitter. I was hacked. I'm like, you were hacked. When he did it again, I said, yes, I did. I sure did. I tweeted him. I said, them Russians got you again, huh? He didn't say nothing. So I was like, oh, so you're owning this one now. You actually owning this one. My thing with Doug is, Doug is also crying. That's the boy that cries wolf. Doug's been on Recurrent. I understand Recurrent is not your zhuzh because you've been on that show for 40 years. He is a vet. He is like the longest running cast member on there to date. He is. I understand that. But as Mike said, he had a good run, and this is how it is. At least they did not look. At least Mal didn't take you to the parking lot and fire you like how Paul Roush did at the young at over at One Life to Live. They put you on Recurring, and when you found out that Ray was a cop, I said to myself, I said, oh, Doug, I'm like, they are totally gonna have Doug on if Ray is here, and they're still doing, you know, they're still doing this whole JT thing. What cracks me up is that they complain that Sally is so slow, but Mal is slow too to wrap all this shit up with JT and Jack's fraternity. So I'm like, y'all fired her for being slow, but Mal's slow as fucking molasses' damn self. But my thing with Doug is, don't hop on Twitter and do this. I thought, you know, for me personally, y'all do it. That's some hits for me. That's hits for the site. So go ahead and do it. If you call your boss a funky cat bitch on Twitter and I see it, I'm like, I'm here for it. And I'm going to get it. I'm going to screen cap it and I'm going to get it. So I don't care. But don't do that on Twitter. If it's a situation where, you know, your boss tells you, oh, we're putting you out to pasture or whatever, because they come up with some bullshit excuse that the fan, if they say something like the fans don't want to see you, they just want to see other people, then I would take to Twitter to see what the fans have to say, because that's where the voices are these days. And if the voices are like, if you tweet that and the voices are like, yeah, we don't want to see you, then I'd be like, okay, then. That's my litmus test. If they say something different, I'd be like, well, who are you interviewing? You know what I mean? Like, I think it's kind of like tacky. And then he tries to play this whole, well, I am on Recurring, but I won't be seen until a few, you know, I taped my last few tapings. They do that to all of them. Ken Schreiner did that on Twitter. And someone was like, y'all need to have a special podcast. I said, uh-uh. Jillian's not having a special podcast for that, because
we're going on Recurring.
I said, number one, you blame Jeannie, because Jeannie Francis took, when she was all poor Frank, I was like, I'm not rallying the troops for none of y'all no more. So you blame her these days. But I mean, Doug has had a really good run on things. I mean, under Maria's watch, it was between him or Don Diamond. She had to get rid of, because quote unquote budget reasons, which is such bullshit, because she went ahead and brought all the D-listers from Promise Treatment on over to Wide Arm, bust that budget wide open. But she was between Doug and Don Diamond. They saved Doug, and I think that was like the dumbest decision Maria made. Not shading that. That's like the best dumb decision she made, because we got Bill Spencer. And I thought it was a dumb decision she made, because you said it's budget reasons, but then you went on and brought all these high paying actors on there that could have paid for Don, but I digress. But I mean, I feel for Doug, but at the same time, that's not the way to go. If they said something callous and mean to you about your situation, I could see you taking the Twitter. Like, remember years ago when Sony wanted Eric Braeden to take a pay cut? He took to the masses and to the press. He used the press. He voiced his disgruntledness on Twitter, and he was in, his agent is a badass. You looked up again, he was in Variety, he was in the Hollywood Reporter, he was in Deadline, he was in People, Entertainment Tonight. I was like, damn, Eric. I'm like, your publicist, it needs to get a bonus. He voiced his opinion about how they treated him. He said, I had no problem with them doing a pay cut, because that's the business these days. He said, it's the way they went about things. I could see Doug doing that, then I'd be like, okay, cool. But they just put you on Recurrent, and they probably haven't said to you, oh, Doug, we have some more scenes coming up for you. Like, this ain't Burger King. It's not your way right away. They probably, I'm pretty sure they have more scenes coming up with him now that we know that Ray is a cop. I'm pretty sure they're going to need Paul more, and they're going after the Newmans more. So we're going to need Paul more. They just probably haven't gotten around to telling you.
And there's no Doug here. Hate here, by the way.
No, there's zero Doug hate.
No Doug hate here.
No, you know, no. I like me some Doug Davidson, because Doug Davidson can act his ass off. You know, I mean, he helped them get some Emmys his damn self. So with his acting, so there is no Doug bashing. I just think it's kind of – it's a sucker-ass way how you go about things these days when you hop on Twitter and do that. And I know people will be like, bitch, are you really seriously saying that? Because you love you some Twitter. I do. The journalists in me
hey,
is
I
like –
I remember, you know, everybody talks about like the influx of new people. We don't care about newbies. We don't want this. We don't want that. It's all about the vets. You know what? I've been watching soaps for a very long time. That was the cry that was said when the Quartermains came to town and the Webbers came to town and the Lewises and the Quartermain – oh, did I say the Quartermains?
Yeah,
the Lewises and the Spaldings. They were pushing out the Bowers and the vets were going to be – you know what? This rallying cry happens periodically, and this is just the nature of the way soaps work.
Very true. At the same time, though, I think it should be pointed out that at the same time, and Jillian has pointed this out on Twitter, but it's this thought that I think we all share. It seems a little bit ironic that things can't be worked out with Michelle Morgan. And
yes!
Then all of a sudden we have all these new people. I'm like, three new characters on the show that combined would probably pay for Michelle Morgan to still
not
be there.
Not only that, they're bringing on another new person.
Yeah.
Digest. Rant that they had a casting call for some woman. They don't say what the race is. So I'm like, AKA, she white, y'all. That's how they do things. When they don't put the race, she white. I'm like, but y'all are cutting budgets and cutting asses and all that. And Eileen Davidson was leaving, but she's still on there. I'm like, that's a long.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's a long goodbye. So I'm like, I don't believe the shit that comes out of CBS daytime these days. I'm side-eyeing all of y'all. If y'all tell me it's raining outside, I got to get my ass drenched to believe, because I don't believe y'all no more. I don't believe y'all. Y'all said that Michelle had to go because, you know, the contract negotiations broke down. But you bring in all these people in. Then, you know, you have Mal Young doing that interview with TV Insider where he says,
it was the best gift we could have given her.
I was like, child,
can I have the gift receipt?
Child, if I was Michelle, I'd have been like, listen, I'm returning that back to the gift department because no, because that's BS. And I really wanted Mal to be called out on that, because I'm like, okay, it's going to be funny. Yeah, I'm going to defend Mal in this. Mal is not in the contract negotiation phases. That's CBS and Sony thing. Mal is just, look, y'all need to bring y'all asses to set. Come read my script. You standing in my light. You know, Joshua Marr, you get your ass out here. You know, Eric, shut your face and stop tripping, and you read these lines. That's Mal's thing. Contracts, that's not his thing. So I can't blame Mal for that, because I'm just going to go here. Spoiler alert, Nate was going to be for fucking Hillary. They were going to do a Nate-Hillary-Devon triangle. You could smell it. You could see it, how they had them going, you know, had them being so alpha males against each other. They were going there, but the contract negotiations broke down, and Mal was asked out, as is Michelle Morgan. But you saying that this was a gift to her and she wanted to leave, I'm like, did you not get the memo that her agent did an interview where the agent the agent called CBS and Sony out and said, we were like, we ain't gonna take that. But CBS and Sony were like, okay, and took their ball home and got mad. Like, where were you? That was not a good gift to her. To me, that sounded like CBS and Sony were in their feelings that this chick told them, that she fought back, that she decided, no, I'm going to stand up for what I'm worth. CBS and Sony decided to get petty and say, she's not playing ball with us, so. And somebody dropped a little bug to them and told them, you could do whatever. And Mal was like, okay, then I guess we'll kill her off. Good, or something, or, you know, that sounds like somebody was being petty. You didn't have to kill her off. Could have had Hillary say, man, fuck you, Devon. I'm going to Hollywood. I got a job over at CBS. Boom. the end. And then you bring, you know, when she has her kid, when the dust settles and cooler heads prevailed, you can come back to the bargaining table with her. If she still ain't budging, you can keep her ass off or recast her. If she does, you bring her back. Plain and simple. But this whole, I gave it to her as a gift, I'm like, shut up. Just shut up. Stop lying.
Let's talk a little bit about what went on screen at The Young and the Restless. Josh, Nick was arrested.
Yeah, he was. He was.
Damn, Josh.
He was. I'm sorry.
The guy who's never at a loss for words when it comes to soap talk, all of a sudden is a loss for words.
You call him Nick Newman, and I don't see Nick Newman on my screen at all. He wasn't.
What y'all see in his thing?
No, I mean, okay.
Are
so
you
what
making
I mean by,
things up on a magical TV too? He's been Nick Newman for decades.
I realize that, but the character I see on my screen is being called Nick Newman, but is not acting like Nick Newman. So
we
I don't.
Acting like.
Well, he's acting like Little Victor, and I don't have a problem with it, actually.
Yeah. I mean, because his namesake ain't doing nothing these days.
That is very true. I think that's going to what Michael was saying, I think that's exactly what they're doing. They're clearly centering the show. I mean, the whole promo last week was Nick Newman, Nick Newman, what's Nick Newman doing? Nick Newman, Nick Newman, Newman. And Victor, clearly putting Victor and the rest of that lot in the back. So, I mean, they're clearly centering the show around him. But I don't know. It just seems very jarring. Everything on Young and the Restless right now, I don't hate any of it, really. It's just all very jarring. It's of a sudden Nick is acting like this.
It's a vegetable soup. There's a lot of pieces, but a whole lot of liquid, too.
I kind of disagree here. Now, yeah, I just tore their ass up like some bad little 4-year-old showing out in the mall. Yes, I did. I tore you up like one. But I'm going to defend them here. We said the show, Mike said it, the show is called The Young and the Restless. We can't have Victor still, you know, jumping out of airplanes, doing cartwheels, and Victor almost at the Shady Pines moment. And we can't have Nick who has grown-ass kids, who can have kids. We can't have that grown-ass man still running to daddy. I have no problem with Nick turning into Victor because that has always been something he has not wanted to do ever. He's always said, I will never be like you. Never, never, never. Victor has tried to groom that child to be just like him because, let's just be real, Victor's a little sexist. Victor, you know, your daughter is you, just you with a better wig on.
Ooh.
Well, I mean, depending on what days, you know, but whatever. whatever. But, you know, Victoria is Victor in a skirt. But Victor still has this, my beautiful daughter. No, 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 no. My boy here. You know, Victor still has that mentality, even though we live in 20 to the 18, where a woman could be like, bitch, who you talking to? I'm going to buy your company and sell it off 50 times over and bankrupt him, and that's be the end of it. Nick, I have no, you know, this is just how they're doing that because Nick has said he's never wanted to be Victor at all. And Sharon, they keep beating you over the head with Sharon. It's like, you're turning into your father. You're turning into your father. You're turning into your father. They're turning him into something that he doesn't want, which is, I think, brilliant. And Sharon, someone should point out to Sharon, bitch, you turning into Nikki. You turning into Nikki. The only thing is, Nikki wasn't like, do you want more mocha in your latte? Nikki don't ever do that. She'd have been like, Miguel, she wants some more loca in her latte. Like, I don't do coffee, honey. I have Miguel do that. Like, no. So I have they're slowly turning them into the things that they don't want them to be.
But isn't that how it is? Like, isn't that every person's fear? Like, you are like, I never want to be like my parents. And then the older you get, the more like your parents you realize you're becoming. I mean, it's totally, that part totally makes sense. Meanwhile, Mike, Tessa's having some problems.
Fuck her. Let's talk about
that. Well, we're gonna cover her briefly and then keep going on. Mike, what did you think of the place getting shook up and her bruises? And until they showed the bruises, I wasn't sure that it was something that actually happened.
I still don't believe her.
No, tell it all.
Look, here's the thing. I just from a point of view of having watched other soaps and been doing, you know, this watching kind of stuff for a while. And Human Nature, by the way. This girl has never been loved. She's never had a home. She's not capable of really having deep feelings for Mariah that are completely without some sort of other agenda. The Newmans have money. She needs money to pay off this guy that supposedly has her sister, whether that's a true story or not. Nobody ever went – she ever go to Canada? Nobody ever really found out if she did or not. So my thing is, like, Mariah's a street smart girl here. She's the one that should be getting a detective to check out.
She should be going to Nick, or hell, we know who has the baddest PR in the land. That's Victor. She should be going to Victor and saying to Victor, you know, Victor needs to be like, for somehow, you know, it needs to be a situation where Victor is still like, you know, Victor still didn't like Tessa that much. Anyways, Victor needs to say something stank about Tessa around Mariah, and he'd be like, I don't trust that hoe. And for Mariah to be like, why? And he'd be like, you know, Victor, say something. And then she goes to Victor privately and be like, I need your help for Tessa. What about Tessa? She doing something to Nikki? Because, you know, if it's something to do with Nikki, Victor will be like, hold my calls. But for her to be like, I don't trust her, and for Victor to hire a PR, a PI, and for him to investigate that girl and see what's really going on.
She was moved out of a car into the Newman mansion.
Yes.
Without ever getting checked out.
They live in a ranch.
Sorry. But my point is that she, you know, she didn't have a job unless Nikki gave her a job, unless Sharon gave her a job. She never had a home. There's a whole backstory with this girl.
She's a grifter. Whoever has a roof that she can put lay a head under, she's going to them. That's how I feel about Tessa.
What do you think about Devon and Lily in this last week, Jillian?
Well, wait, hold on. What were you saying, Mike?
I wasn't.
I said she gave herself those bruises.
Yeah, I feel as though, like, look, y'all ever watch A Thin Line Between Love and Hate?
No.
Like makeup to me.
None of y'all? Oh, y'all white.
I have.
Oh, who?
Me, Josh.
Oh, see? Yes. You saw how Lynn Whitfield bruised herself up and blamed Martin Lawrence's character? When she came with those bruises, I said, Thin Line Between Love and Hate, this bitch. As soon as when Sharon was like, I need to look at those tapes. Oh, I deleted them.
See, that's what made me wonder.
Yes, I don't believe her. She
doesn't want to go to a doctor.
Right. I feel as though Victor should be involved, or if y'all making Nick baby Victor, you should have Nick involved. Nick, yeah. She says something to Sharon, says something about it, and Nick gets quiet, and he picks up the phone like how his pappy does, and have someone investigate that girl. And for Nick to be like, it took a while, but I was able to get my guy to pull the tapes across the street. And this is what you need to take a look at this. And for them to just grab Tessa's ass up and be, bitch, what you into? I don't, you know, this summer, the you know, when they had Tessa and Mariah, not this summer, last year when they had the Tessa summer. It was last year when they had the Tessa summer. Not Tessa summer, the Tessa and Mariah thing going. They were the heat. And wine are pussied out for some reason. And now you're bringing them back. They don't have the heat anymore.
No, they don't.
I agree.
Yeah, they don't.
They don't have it anymore. And it's been tainted with Tessa hustling Mariah. And you also are making it worse because Mariah came on as a con artist. Mariah's spidey sense should be like, this bitch lying.
That's exactly what I think too.
And they have dumbed Mariah down. The old Mariah have been like, I want to believe her mom. And Sharon be like, but I don't believe her. Something's telling me I don't believe her. And for them to go to Nick or Victor, have those tapes pulled across the street or from around the area. You know, you bring Ravi in, wherever he is, child. Ravi, are you still around? You know, have some tech person who they know pull those tapes, and you see that she's lying. And for them to be like, what are we going to do? And for Mariah to be like, set a trap for her ass and then bust her. But
well,
I digress.
Well, they may not have heat, Mike, but Ben and Sierra this last week on Days of Our Lives –
he fixed her motorcycle for her, and then Hope promptly arrested him. But they were so adorable when he fixed the motorcycle.
Yes, they were adorable. That's true. But what is with Hope?
Yes.
She's become a character I don't even like
Hope
to
gone
watch.
Rogue.
You know, I've wondered about
there's a
Hope.
Lot of Hope hate out there.
You know,
I feel like there's some characters on Days that like I'm going through that with. Like, I never used to have an issue with Belle. All of a sudden, she's feeling like prior to this last week where
I can't stand me some Belle.
Right now, I can't stand me some Belle. Hope, who I've like watched over the years be one of these characters that has gone through a crap load of stuff. I always sort of liked her, but she's really sort of being unlikable.
Sort of liked her. Oops, they don't do me no favors.
Well, it's not. You. It's not. It was never like, okay, but it, like, I'm not even pretending that she was like a fan face for me like she was for Jamie, who is one of his must like ride or die characters. That's never been Hope for me, but I enjoyed her. But like now I don't really like I'm not enjoying her. What are your guys' thoughts on Hope and Ben and Sierra?
I mean, you know, Mike said it best when he was talking about Doug. He old, they Hope old now. Hope old and cranky now. Let me stop before Kristen Alfonso be like, bitch, what you say? You know, she got family on the East Coast. I ain't fitting a mess. I ain't fitting for half of what's my ass when I'm walking in these streets.
Seriously.
I mean, my bad. I'm just jumping in here. But like, you know, I was watching that and I was talking to Mr. Giddens about this, and it was last night. I said, something ain't right with Hope. And he was like, what's wrong? I said, you know, I'm a defend Hope here. Well, just I'll say this. I was a huge Bo and Hope fan when I first watched. Like I started watching when I in the 90s. It was like 3 years after Sweeney came on there. I started watching the 3 years. It was like 3 years since she was in there because I was in high school. And my sister made me watch because, like, we were an ABC household. That's how we rolled. When she came home from boarding school, she was like, oh, the girls are watching this. And I'm like, what the white girls got you watching? I'm like, they got you watching the white woman levitating and shit. And she remember Marlene. I'm like, we a Christian household. That bitch is possessed by the devil. I'm like, what the hell with you? And she was like, come on. So I did what my older sister said to do. I watched it and it was good. Bo and Hope also caught my eye. Love me some Fancy Face. Love her. But I was like, she is a bitch now. Like, Hope is like, I'm tired of the fuck shit. Like, when Ben said to her,
your best friend is in the hospital dying, yes, and you're in here making up stuff.
Yes, I was like, woo, Ben shade. He read her good. I was like, Hope has not been at the hospital. I'm like, is it a situation that Hope is still mad at Marlena? Because I'm thinking, I told Jamie, I said, let's be real here. The Hope that we know would have been like, yes, I'm mad at Marlena for having this bastard on the street.
But she would be one of the people in the hospital.
Yes. She would be in the hospital. She would tell Marlena, hell, she would do this with Marlena. She would be like, girl, you know, Sammy came, you know, Hurricane Sammy is back. I had to book her ass because she don't know how to behave. I wish you were here because only you seem to be the only one outside of EJ that can tame that girl. She's still a hot mess. And for her to be like, I can't believe Kristen drugged her. Like, for Hope to be talking to Marlena, giving her some little tea, and she'd be like, you know, I had to separate her. And for her to be like, I had to separate her from Ben because she was going to go crazy on Ben. And for her to be like, a part of me wanted to, the parent and the petty part of me wanted me to let Sammy go loose on Ben and to beat his ass because I'm still mad that he's out. And for her to admit to Marlena, I'm mad that you had him out roaming the streets, but I wish you were here for me to tell you this. Like, I wish you were awake so I could tell you this and we can make up. Hope ain't been to that damn hospital. Maybe she went once, and I think that was to get a statement. I'm like, what is going on here? And I'm like, maybe it's budget reasons, but I'm like, address it, please, because
yeah.
I am enjoying 92% of Days. I am loving. Y'all know I'm supposed to be working at the job. I'm supposed to be doing online, but my ass ass be sneaking and watching days. So I keep trying to tell y'all, if the people them tell me over at my job, bitch, you got to go because you watching too much of this show. Y'all need to hook a sister up with a job. You know. But I'm watching it and I'm loving days. But that part really was jarring. Even when her family and friends came to say goodbye.
Right.
No hope. I was like, what's going on here?
There's no hope for the future for Marlena. Josh, what are you thinking? What are you thinking of hope?
I even said to Michael the other day, I feel like if they came on next week and somebody said that this was Princess Gina, I would believe it.
Right.
Because hope is not acting like hope.
No.
But what I did like, I liked the scenes with her and Ben. I believe that Trip planted the accelerant.
Yeah.
And not hope. Because when they were at the house,
do you think they're conspiring together?
I don't know, but Trip at the house knew about the accelerant and Hope hadn't told him. Trip talked to Sierra and said that they had lifted a fingerprint off of an accelerant can and Hope didn't tell anybody that till she got back to the police station and told Ben.
Joshua,
he might have done it and then made an anonymous call to the police.
Definitely Trip's involved. So,
because the look on his face when Ben was arrested.
But can I just say
that part?
The best part of the entire of that particular storyline to me was outside of it. It was Ben and Sammy at the police station.
Right, right.
When he said to her, "Oh, what's charged with this time, honey?" I thought, "Oh my God, that was so funny."
And you saw how fast Rafe and Hope acted. They was like, boy, and what did Sammy do? She was like,
she was about to tear him a new one.
You know, I'm like, she don't care that she is in the Salem PD.
She knocked a cop out. She doesn't care where she's at. Sammy's a G. She's a G.
Yeah, all fucks flew out the window. Sammy was like, I don't care that they'll lock my ass up again. I'll tear your face off. And that was and that's another thing with the whole thing. Even though Hope is still salty with Sammy over this, I feel as though Hope would not be this irrational with Rafe. She would have realized we did break up, although it was just for 24 hours, and you decided to hump your ex-wife, who is my niece. But that's okay. Hope would have been forgiving. And Hope also would not have been an asshole and keep Sammy locked up while her mother's dying.
Right.
Totally.
Right. That's the other thing that makes me, like, I would never believe that Hope would do that to Sammy. She would have a guarded, like, an escort. Hope would have allow Sammy to go to the hospital with a one or two man escort, and she would be in handcuffs. And that's how organic Hope would behave. This keeping her in prison when her mother is about to have the thing pulled out is not Hope at all.
Yes. Thank you, Luke. Oh my God. You took the words right out, because I said that to someone else. I was like, Hope would have been mad at Sammy, but she would have been like,
they're still family.
Yes, she would have. Sammy would have been in that jail cell. Hope would have come and Sammy would have talked her shit to Hope. And Hope would have been like, are you done? Are you done? Are you done now? Are you done acting like a little brat? This is Officer whatever Jones and this is Officer Torres. Yeah, what about them? And for her to be like, they're about to take you to stick your hand out. And she would have cuffed Sammy. She'd been like, they're about to take you to University Hospital for. They're going to let you spend time with Marlena. You're going to go there for, they're going to bring you back here at 4 o'clock. And for Sammy to be like, that's only 4 hours. Yes, Sammy, I'm going against the rule books for you, even though your crazy ass don't deserve it. You knocked, you came here, you shot your mother in the chest, even though we all know it's Eric's bitch ass. It's still annoying me. Anyways, she would say, you shot your mother, you knocked out a cop.
Yep.
And you still have no remorse. And I'm doing this for you because I don't want on my conscience that you never got to say your piece to Marlena.
Josh.
I wouldn't want to do that to Marlena. And she would have let her go. For her to keep her in there, I was like, yo, you are taking this too far now, bitch.
Josh, I want to get your thoughts on this and then go to Mike. The scenes this last week over the directive were really powerful. John versus Belle, the various family members coming to terms with what was happening. But there was a moment in which I was like, I really need something to happen. When Roman and John were talking about it, and John was like, what do you care? You don't have any input on this or Marlena's life. I was like, if Roman does not haul off and punch the man who stole his wife, and who, like, I don't know what's going to happen. Like, for me, I was like, oh, I really need Roman to haul off and punch John right now.
No,
but Josh, there were other very good moments.
No. The part of that I did like was he said, what's this we you talking about? And by the way, it was your daughter who put Marlena up in here.
But he also basically made it sound like Roman had no input in Marlena's life.
I agree with you.
That's the part that got y'all all wet.
Well, I'm going to – Josh, finish up. I'll go to Mike, and then we'll go to Jillian.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you about Roman. But Roman backed down. Roman
right. I was like, why? Roman, why are you backing down? You have every right to be here.
Right. It's been over 30 years now. I wish John should have been like, I wish you would try to haul off and slap somebody, punch somebody.
And at the same time, we just saw Marlena have a dream about – Roman.
So what?
I'm just saying the context. But
no.
Okay.
No. I don't care if she dreams about Roman all the time. John is right. You have no say here, sir. Go back and go serve your mama chowder.
Josh, what did you think of the medical scenes?
I thought it was great. I thought the use of an advanced directive was real life stuff. Ron's doing a great job over there with balancing the crazy with the real life. I thought that it made perfect sense to me that Marlena made Belle her proxy, because Belle would have been the only one that could have taken her emotions out of it. I thought and as annoying as Belle was with that, she was right. But everybody was right. Belle was legally right. The rest of them were emotionally right, and so it made for perfect drama. And quite frankly, Martha Madison and Drake Hogeston did work. Both of them did work this week. They were both compelling. They both allowed the story to flow. I thought they were great. I was screaming at my television one way or the other the entire week, which tells me it was good drama. And Jillian was screaming up on Twitter about Belle.
Mike, what did you think of the medical drama this last week?
Wow, it was really compelling stuff. And again, I'm just going to echo what Josh said. I agree. The real life stuff is where the drama is. This kind of stuff happens all the time. To have Belle be the logical person, I completely understood her point of view. I don't think that she was – I think her problem was that Marlena was on a machine that shouldn't have been in the first place. So she was trying to rush it too much. I think that Belle, the problem that I have with Belle is that she went to Kayla without really getting into it with anybody else who was not supporting her point of view. But damn, Jillian, you had me cracking up when you said, damn, they're going to make me like Claire now because she's going to this.
I was like, you sneaking that in on me. Don't do that.
It was really good. And when John looked at Belle and said, you are not my – I just was – you know, having – again, we've talked about this before. Disappointment is the worst thing somebody could say to you. And when he looked at Belle and said, my daughter, I am deeply disappointed in you. I just felt really badly for her. So, yeah, Martha Madison and Drake Hogeston and all of them, oh, my God, they have their Emmy reels. That whole episode was – it was really, really well done, and it was – dramatic and compelling, and everybody was involved, and it just was it was really good. I loved it. It was good.
Jillian,
it's emotionally draining to watch a week of that stuff.
Right.
No, I see. No, John should have said, you know what, Isabella, Samantha was a soothsayer when she put your ass on the black market because she saw what demon you were, you bitch. I walk across the light. Listen, when John said he was disappointed in her, I screamed. I was like, tell her again. Because she was moving too fast. I could see if they gave her a few, if she was like, okay, guys, I'm going to give it a few days and then we're going to do it. Bitch was like, I want her off now. I was like, well, and then when Sammy was like, you just want what's in that will. I'm like, for real? Like, why are you so hard pressed to like pull the plug on her?
Sammy was just like, she wants to kill our mother.
Yes, because Eric caused y'all to put y'all mama in the hospital in the first place. Old jittery ass. Don't give him no coffee, crazy self. Eric, get on my nerve. But when John told, and then you know what made it also sweeter? When Isabella Black.
Oh, Lord.
Said to John, I feel bad. John grabbed her up and said, you know, I love you, but I don't give a damn about your feelings. I said, oh! John basically told her, fuck you and your feelings. I screamed. I was like, oh, John gathered her up. And then when he was at that hospital talking to everyone and was not addressing Belle, he was paying her dust. And when he also told her, get out of here. When he threw her out of the hospital, I was like, John is fed up with y'all.
John should have been throwing Eric out.
See, and the other thing that I thought was interesting is that the look on Sammy's face when she found out that Belle was going to be responsible for pulling the plug on her mom was amazing. And then, but then we get to the end of the week and they're all there saying their goodbyes, and it's so sad.
They were on point. The dialogue for all of those characters on point. It really was something.
You know, and shout out to Ron, obviously, but shout out to Ryan Kwan.
Yep.
And I was just
Sherry Anderson.
Yes, I'm like, girl, I'm about to call you Shelley Altman. Sorry, sis. Hold up. I apologize to you now, girl, because I know you're not Shelley Altman. So if you happen to be in the streets of New York, don't tell nobody to run me over saying that. I'm sorry, girl, but. The history. Did y'all clock the song that Sammy was singing to Marlena?
I knew it had importance, but I couldn't remember what.
That's the song Marlena sang to her when Lucas got her ass on death row. Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
I was like, the history. I'm sorry, Mal Young, because Mal Young said history is not important. And we know Shelley don't like history. But I'm like, history right here. That was so perfect. And we know, like, and y'all also didn't clock why Marlena gave Belle proxy. Look at the chaos that Sammy has caused since she's been back. Let's just call a spade here. Marlena needed a level-headed child to do it.
It does make you wonder why she didn't trust Eric, though.
You see what Eric got her in the hospital. She said,
Well, no, as the former priest and the person who's provided like biblical and spiritual and emotional support for people as part of his profession, you sort of think that if you have children and you have a lawyer and you have a former priest for a son, that the former priest might be in competition for being able to help make those decisions.
No, his job is comfort and support. It's Belle's job to legally make
She's
sure that everything is taken care of.
So I see that. And Eric, you know, Marlena slipped on a banana peel. Eric want to put, you know, because of Eric, it's a wrap. Like, she's in the hospital because of him. We all know it's because of him. It's because of him. But Belle is the lawyer in the family, so I see why she did that. And she also saw that Sammy is her eldest. But she also knows that Sammy will not be level-headed. She will go by emotion, and she will tear shit up. She knows, I love my girl. I love my baby girl. But damn it, if she won't burn down a hospital and then kill everybody else. She knows Sammy. So I got that. Like, the comparing and contrasting of that, I was like, this is pretty dope that y'all are doing. It's just little things are just like, you know, I'm pulling a Jubanville here, but things are annoying me. Like, the whole thing annoyed me. You know, I saw why, you know, because someone said it, because I was like, why hasn't Claire been there? They're like, oh, she hurt her foot. I'm like, did you just hear what you just say? And they're like, but she hurt her foot. I'm like, it's not like she's going to visit Marlena at Mount Kilimanjaro. She's going to hospital, so if she hurts her foot, she could sit ass in a wheelchair. Like, why wasn't she there? Like, it just, little things annoy me. But then I said, damn, y'all budget. I'm like, y'all need to free up.
You know, Claire's also that kid. She's 20 ish years old. I mean, when you're 20 years old, that kind of thing, if you've never been exposed to it before, they address it a little bit by saying, I've never seen anyone die before. And Belle, she's like, go talk to her. I don't know what to say. I mean, it was very realistic.
Yeah.
And it's, it's an image that you'll never forget if you're forced to do something like that. You'll never forget how you saw somebody.
If you're saying goodbye, like when I was in my 20s, I said goodbye to my great grandfather because we went down and visited him over Christmas, and he passed away in January, and everybody was there to say your goodbyes. And that was really impactful on me. And then 10, 15 years later, last year, we went back for my aunt's 50th birthday, and it was basically my grandmother was in the nursing home, and you say goodbye. And like, I still remember the last look that she gave me, and I knew, I didn't know when, but I knew I wasn't going to see her again, and I didn't. And so when you're going through that at her age, I really hope that it ends up providing another element of her character as she's dealing with her grief, as she's dealing with, like, if she, obviously Marlene is not going to pass away, but as this is playing out, I hope that it adds another dimension to that character, because it's an opportunity to definitely do something like that.
I mean, you know, I get that with her, but I still, they had Will at the hospital, and Will is her grandson, and he's supposed to be, what, in his 20s? Well, Sammy had him as a teen.
Yeah, but how many times has Sammy been on death row, and he's been there for all of it?
Well, he was there for Paul, too.
Well, right.
But he was, you know, but he was still there. So I'm like, that's just a little gripe. But oh my God, didn't y'all love how they had Will when Sammy was talking, and Will just like brings up Grace, and that makes Sammy click, and she's
what I thought was good with Will was when he's sitting by Marlena's bed and he's like, I think I'm becoming my mom because chaos is ever. I was like, Will, you have a long ways to go before you start creating that type of chaos. But it was a very nice thing to know that he's self-aware that his life is sort of spinning out of control, and that
Patty boy,
let's
you just don't drink like him.
So let's go from the amazingness of Days of Our Lives to General Hospital.
I don't know, y'all. My mic broke.
That's sort of how I feel too. So a skull was found in the thing because Mike had one of his episodes and went and did some beating on pipes
Wow, what a great condition Charlie's ended up in for having all that gas leak and just have, I mean, come on.
It was just some rubble on the floor in the basement. I don't know exactly why there was a hole in the floor when the pipe was opened on the side of the wall, but you never know, I guess. Jillian, what are your thoughts on General Hospital this last week? Because I would be more than happy to keep the General Hospital segment of this podcast short.
No. You're not going to overtalk me and play crazy. No. You're not going to ask me to talk about GH first. But when I have good talk, want to talk about good shit on shows, you go to me last. So we're going to keep a tradition. Mike, what are you
doing? I don't go to you last. I went to you first on Windsor Harmon and all the other stuff.
Edit, Mike. No. Get out of here.
Okay. I'm going to say my opinion of General Hospital this week was that there were good moments on there. I think that Carly was the voice of reason without yelling and screaming, which is
unusual.
Never happened before. I liked the Robin, Anna, Georgie, Maxie, and the Robin going to Peter. And I know how everybody feels about Peter, but I did like their scene together. And I thought Robin's frankness, I think Kimberly McCullough, so good at not overacting.
No, and she cuts to the chase. Like, she, like, hits you where it hurts.
Yep, and she was good. And I even didn't mind – I thought it was a bit much. I've never seen anybody have a panic attack, but if you're going to rip your shirt off, I want to see that more often in real life. But that, you know, that's neither here nor there.
The problem is you wouldn't really – if that did happen, it probably wouldn't be someone in as good a shape if you were in an elevator
probably
with them.
Probably not. That's true. I didn't even mind Maxie and Peter, they have good chemistry. And I know that the only reason why
Valentini is like, I'm turning them one at a time.
I know why people hate Peter, and it's because of what it's done to Anna. But I there are certain times when I don't hate him as much as the rest of the world does. So there were some good moments for me on the thing. Now, let's talk about the discrepancy thanks to Wubbs, who has done some homework and found out that there's a rewrite on Sunny's thing that just happened, 6 months ago in April. She dug up a YouTube clip where been led to believe sort of by osmosis that Sunny killed this guy and put the gun obviously in with it, and then the body was gone. So what I think it was that Sonny was there when the guy was shot, and then the guy told him to bury this guy.
Uh-huh.
So that's been...
You realize now that you've pointed that out that that clip is going to suddenly vanish. No, what I was saying, like the fact that it's mentioned on this podcast, now that clip is going to vanish off of YouTube because we don't want to think about things like history when it comes to General Hospital.
I don't care about... Sunny in this.
Me either. Well, I don't either. I'm just saying it does speak to that right as you go mentality that they kind of claim to fame with, and
they
make shit
up as they go along. They do.
Yep.
Like, you know, Kimberly McCullough is going to give you what she gives you, which is 100%. I mean, here's the thing with the Peter situation, and people keep missing it. I'm like, you people seem to get actor and character mixed up. And when you start to blur the lines, you need to lay on someone's couch. I don't have a problem with Wes Ramsey getting a job. Ain't got no problem with that at all. It's like they set him up to fail by making Peter be Anna's child. If Peter happened to be Alex's child, fine. If Peter was, you found out that Peter was Faison's child with, you know, Hannah Montana, I don't care. It would still be, I'd be like, fine, but you retcon the retcon or the retcon on shit. You retcon Faison's history several times over and you just pissed all over Anna's. That's the part that I have the problem with.
Right.
As a villain, you know, which they seem to forget with Valentine, I'm like, you're not some dashing count. You're a fucking villain, dude. He's a villain, but villains always have Achilles' heels. Maxie being that for Peter, that's fine by me too. And Robin being the one to chin check Peter and to get Peter together, that's fine with me too. I just do not like his backstory. If they fix that, I'll enjoy it. They still have time to fix it. GH is that show that, you know, when you're young and your mom is telling you, look, Mike, I don't want you to, I told you no and don't eat no more of that. And you still drag your feet and you still disregard what she says and you still eat more of the candy, even though it's you're sick, you just doing it because she told you no and you want to prove a point. That's how I feel that Shelley Altman is acting. She's trying to prove a point. Shelley and Frank, when Frank gave that interview and was like, Peter is related to Anna and Maxie and he has a connection with Maxie and Robert, you're trying to let people know I have this boy linked to everybody on this canvas and y'all will deal.
They're working very overtime to try and make him us like still,
he could still be linked to Anna by being her nephew. Like, I still would have no problems with that. Him and Maxie have chemistry. I just don't like the backstory of it. So I'm still gonna say that. I don't care. You know, the CDC could say that he gives chemistry, and I'll still be like, and I still don't like his backstory, bitch. So now, backstory. I don't like it. Like, GH keeps dragging their feet with that. People aren't liking it. You need to fix it. And that way he would be more viable. It would be, you know, it would make things a little bit more easy, you know, for him to, you give him a little out. That would give him a little out for him to be like, this whole time I thought my mom was Anna and I thought she didn't want me, but it actually was Alex and she was playing mind games. That, and for him to find out Valentine was playing mind games and they did this mapping shit, and for him to turn on Valentine and to beat Valentine's ass, so that would be fine.
Get on with this mapping thing. Give Drew back his memory. Come on. It's been months and months and months.
It's been years.
It's been years. There was one Jordan's little bright, humorous moment for me this last week watching General Hospital. Robert with Finn and Chase is sort of like the I hate you buddy cop like dynamic that I need on this show more often, because Robert shows up, basically makes them both look extremely uncomfortable, and then when he leaves, Finn was like, he really doesn't like us, does he? Chase was like, nope. And I'm like, I need more of that dynamic. It felt organic. It felt fun. It was a little bit light, but yet still serious because of what had happened in the past. And I enjoyed it. Josh, what did you think of General Hospital this last week?
You actually talked about the one thing that I like, which is Finn and Chase. I think that they have great chemistry as brothers. I like the sort of goofy back and forth that they have. I just very much like them together. What I did not like was watching Sonny's daddy eat all of Port Charles on Monday and Tuesday outside.
What the bomb didn't get, daddy got.
Oh, my God. He ain't no scenery left on that set.
The one who should really be mad about this whole mic on all day, every day, I'm like, Ron, what's his name? What was his last name? The original mic.
Ron Hale.
Ron Hale should be sitting. Yes, Ron Hale should sit there and shoot his TV, because I'm like, y'all didn't give Ron Hale all this work. Y'all could have called him up and done this, but I guess Ron Hale's retired. But I'm like, damn, I ain't seen so much of Mike. I'm tired of Mike now. Like, oh my God.
And this relationship that they had was not that great. I mean,
no.
It's just ridiculous.
They're retconning their history. When Mike came to the show, Mike was like, he did little errands for Laura. He was taking care of Lucky and I want to say Lulu as the nanny. And when Sonny found out, that was so funny because Sonny was Luke's little friend. And when Sonny came over to the house and was like, he said something like, oh, so this is your new hustle now, or this is your new gig now, or something. And Sonny was resentful that you could take care of stranger kids, but you couldn't take care of your own. Now all of a sudden, dad. Sonny never called Mike dad. It was always Mike. Like,
right.
Think for
a moment, this story that's going on with Mike and Sonny, and how shallow and empty it feels outside of the very initial start when you had Mike's diagnosis, and there were some very powerful moments there. But since then, it's been very shallow. And think about how amazing in terms of, not amazing, but how impactful it could have been if John Ingle and Jane Elliott were still here and this Alzheimer's story was going on between Edward
John
and Tracy.
John Ingle is in the upper room.
What I'm saying is
I have a real father daughter.
Right. If you had a meaningful father child dynamic that had been long established on the show, and you would be able to see that now play out through an Alzheimer's story, it could have been very powerful and impactful the whole way through if they hadn't made it about the mob. But this story, Mike and Sonny have very little of a relationship, even when the previous actor was in the role. And now it's supposedly like Sonny really cares about him and wants to do stuff.
To be fair, when Ron Hale was still there, Sonny and Mike because of Brenda, and that was Brenda was the one that was always encouraging Sonny to be cool with his dad, and she was bridging the gap. And over the years, you know, Carly used to tell him, look, I don't give a shit what you and Brenda have. Like, you ain't gonna bring your bum ass over here causing trouble with Sonny. But over the years, they still started to bridge a gap, and Carly would help them bridge a gap also. They had a relationship, but it's not like this. Like, Sonny would be going through his drama, even though, you know, Mike and Sonny, you know, Mike couldn't tell Sonny hot shit because of what he did. Sonny used to still open up with Mike. Mike used to give him advice and tell him, Michael, I know you don't want to hear this from me because of what I did. Mike would always address that off the rip, but he would be like, Michael, you need to do this. Da-da-da-da-da. Sonny would get his digs in. Mike would let him do it. But Mike would drive home the point, like, to tell Sonny to get his shit together. And Sonny would slowly do that. They had a relationship, but it ain't like this. Like, I understand Alzheimer's brings you together, but y'all are just whitewashing Sonny and Mike's history.
And this thing about keeping, you know, the Dina and Mike at home is great. But the truth is, they're a danger to other people, and they would never be allowed to be living at home.
Well, and
I know it's kind of a picky issue, but
it, well, and
I
it's,
mean,
a di-
it's not. It doesn't feel real when
it's
you.
Not
have
issue,
it's not a picky
it's
issue.
True.
It's not a picky issue, but it is a difficult issue for your family, like what mine went through with my grandmother before she went into the nursing home. Like my if with them, my grandfather still being alive, it was very difficult because my grandfather didn't want to do that to his wife, but at the same time the limitations of health and various other thing play a role in it. And so from a family aspect, they're missing the boat by making this about the mob, and that's the crux of the whole thing. As someone who went through not Alzheimer's, but we did go through dementia fairly recently with my grandmother, I know how much this story could have played out and been meaningful and powerful. And at the very beginning, early on, before we got this whole buried a person in the place and it became about the
this
mob.
This whole what?
Buried. The guy's buried.
Yeah.
I'm like, who?
Before it became about that, there was the potential for this to be a very powerful storyline. But they've completely shot themselves in the foot with everything since they've made it about Sonny and the mob.
I feel like that about the YNR story, too. This isn't just limited to General Hospital story. I think Dina's story is the same way.
And that's coming from someone who you loved that Dina story.
I do, but she's in danger. There's no way she'd be allowed to be living in that house.
No, but what should happen is, you know, they need to have a situation with both Mike and Sonny, both YNR and GH. Pay attention. What needs to happen is that they need to be in that house, and somehow, even though they have all those people there watching them and staffers, somehow Dina needs to almost burn the house down, or Dina, you know, something catches on fire. Mike almost burns the house down, or Mike trips something, and they come in there shooting, and somebody needs to pull them to the side and say, they need to go into a home, or as the police are there, the police says to them, so we have some bad news. Yes, Big Mama is going into the home. Or if they, you know, somebody tells Sonny, you know, your pappy going into the home, they are danger. He's either going into a home willing. We're giving you two options. Willingly, you gonna put him in, or we gonna put him in. If we put him in, he going into a state run facility. If you put him in, you get to pick a home of his, a nice home. Take your pick. Someone needs to do that, because
and you can still have them in the home and have a story.
Yes, but you know what it is? I feel as though this is budgetary reasons. And I feel at the last minute when they run out of storyline for them, that's when Dina and Mike will be going to Shady Pines or something.
Well, we are going to be ending this podcast. We would encourage you to comment on it at daytimeconfidential.com. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/DC Confidential. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/DC Confidential. You can find me at Luke_Kerr on Twitter. Josh is Dr. Joshua09. Mike is MPJ24. And Jillian is at Jillian Bow. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long.
Bye.
Bye.
Don't drop the soap, Lily.